From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of August. Time Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll discuss the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. Take a look at the stress test that Gary Schnitke has run on farm economics as it's related to Central Illinois and next year's corn and soybean crops. We'll hear all about renewable diesel from Dan O'Brien at K-State Extension, and the state statisticians will be here with updates from their regions in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures finished the September contract today at $5.44.5. That was up 6.5 cents. December 9.75 higher. A finish at $5.45.25, and the March contract settled $5.52.25, up 9 cents. Soybeans, where the real action took place, the nearby September up 43 cents at $13.37. November at $13.31.75, 39 higher. In January, up 38.5 at $13.36.75. Bean meal at $3.54.90, up $8.30 for the day. The bean oil $1.84 higher at $61.09, and the wheat futures in the soft red at $7.32.25 were down a penny and a quarter for the day. The hard red at $7.04.25 finished unchanged. Live cattle futures in Chicago, nearby contract for the afternoon at $131.70, down 25. The feeders 45 lower at $170.22.5, and lean hogs $86.97.5, down 50 cents on the afternoon. Just a couple of reminders as we get to Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Next week is Farm Progress Show. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll be at the show site. Stop in and see us. If you come in the main gate, turn to your right as you come in the gate, and about a block down the street, you'll find us in the University of Illinois tent. And then on Thursday of next week, and I'll do this from the Farm Progress Show site, the Farm Doc team begins a new webinar series. You can find a way to link to that either at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or online at willag.org. Scroll down to the calendar and you'll find information. Just click on those red links there and they'll open up and give you all the information about the 7 webinars in the series. Again, they start next Thursday, September the 2nd. Now here's Wayne Nelson. He joins us. Wayne, thank you for being with us. What a day it was for soybeans. Why did they rally?
Well, I think a couple reasons, Todd. Is number one, the crop rate were lower even in the Dakotas where they had some rain last week, or you know, the end of the week and over the weekend that way. And we're seeing that the weather, the dryness out here is tending to push the beans in one thing. Also, you know, the crude oil was higher. We're looking at the idea of the bean oil, which was helping push things back along with the energies doing that. And we continue to see not big sales, but small sales reported to China. You know, it's been going along here pretty good. So all those things put together and maybe a little oversold conditions from last week, you know, pop the beans here today.
Expectations that there will be follow through tonight?
I think, you know, we've got a real good chance. You know, the basis levels are still hanging real good on the beans. You know, I think they're looking 85 or you know, they're raised in Decatur and still above the September. So we're looking at something like that. I also think that we're looking at the idea that this dryness is taking bushels away every day. I think that we're seeing that. As I was down to Memphis over the weekend, drove down through Arkansas and Missouri and up back towards St. Louis, and you're seeing some real sort of early drying of all the crops.
What about the rest of the week?
Well, I think that we're going to come up and try to, you know, we're going to see what we can do. Corn, you know, we got up to 547 today. Resistance is 48 to 58, but the support's at 36. So, you know, I think we're in range bound until we can punch out one side or the other. The beans in the same effect, it'd take a close over 1380 to erase the bearish reversal we saw last Tuesday. So can we push those beans up that much and go through that and take them on? It's not that far to go, really, but I mean, so we're looking at the idea that there's maybe a chance, but we're going to be watching the weather forecast very closely, and I know there's a chance of some more showers here end of the week into next week.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Just again, a reminder that the new FarmDoc webinar series is starting up. It's the FarmDoc Update series on Thursday of next week. That's September the 2nd. We'll kick off with Farmland Price Outlook with Bruce Sherrick, Luke Worrell, and Gary Schnitke. Again, you can sign up for that online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or look for the series on in our calendar at willag.org, willag.org, and you'll find a way to link to the registration page right there. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. 85% of the corn crop now has entered the dough stage across the nation. 45% has dented. The five-year average, by the way, for dent is 38%, and 4% of the crop has matured. That's right on the five-year average. 46% is said to be in good condition, and 14% in excellent. Last week, those numbers for corn were 47% good and 15% excellent. 97% of the soybeans have bloomed at this point, and 88% are setting pods. Both of those are on average. 3% have actually begun to drop leaves. That's the same as usual for the five-year. And the condition of the soybean crop said to be 45% good and 11% excellent. That's down one percentage point in the two categories from the previous week. Now here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Field activities included harvesting, hay, and oats. Producers were utilizing the release of CRP land for haying and grazing. Northwest, Central, and East Central Iowa had the lowest subsoil moisture levels in the state, with more than 80% rated short to very short. Corn in or beyond the dough stage reached 90%, 6 days ahead of the five-year average. 47% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage or beyond, 4 days ahead of normal. There were scattered reports of corn reaching the mature stage. Some producers have begun chopping silage. Iowa's corn condition rated 58% good to excellent. Soybeans setting pods reached 95%, 8 days ahead of normal. 5% of soybeans were coloring. There were a few reports of soybeans dropping leaves. Soybean condition was rated 61% good to excellent. Sudden death syndrome was observed in some soybean fields across the state. The third cutting of alfalfa hay reached 68% complete, 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Both mites and armyworms have been spotted in alfalfa and grass hay crops. Pasture condition was rated 31% good to excellent. Water for cows and calves on pasture has become an issue as some creeks and ponds dry up. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was hot and dry across Illinois. Rainfall averaged less than 0.4 inches across the state. Temperatures averaged 75 degrees and ranged from 0.5 degree below normal to 3 degrees above average. There was an average of 6.4 days suitable for fieldwork around the prairie state last week, and topsoil moisture levels declined to 5% very short, 31 short, 56 adequate, and 8% surplus. 84% of Illinois soybean acres were setting pods compared to 91% 1 year ago and 89% for the five-year average. Soybean conditions declined from last week and were reported as 9% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 67% good to excellent. 85% of Illinois corn acres had reached the dough stage or gone beyond. That compares to 91% last year and 87% normally. 50% of corn acres had reached the dent stage compared to 47% normally. Corn conditions also declined and were rated 8% very poor to poor, 25% fair, and 67% good to excellent. Moving on to hay, the third cutting of alfalfa is now 87% finished compared to 73% normally. Pasture conditions declined as well and were rated 13% very poor to poor, 33% fair, and 54% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers averaged 5.8 days suitable for field work during the week. Some areas of the state received much-needed rain, but temperatures continued above normal statewide. Field activities for the week included harvesting small grains and cutting corn for silage. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 44% very short, 39% short, 17% adequate, and 0% surplus. Corn in or beyond the dough stage reached 86%. That's 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn dented reached 30%, the same as last year, but 2 days ahead of average. Corn condition rated 34%, good to excellent. Soybean setting pods reached 96%, that's 2 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybeans turning color reached 20%, 9 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition rated 31%, good to excellent. Spring wheat harvested reached 98%, over 3 weeks ahead of both last year and the five-year average. And pasture condition was rated 46% very poor, 37% poor, 15% fair, 2% good, and 0% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. We're now joined by agricultural economist Gary Schnittke. He's written a new article for the Farm Doc Daily website. That happens every Tuesday, and this time around, he's decided to stress test the farms in the central part of the state, grain farms, on highly productive soils. Gary, can you tell me a little bit about this economic stress test?
Incomes for 2021 look like they're going to be above average, and significantly so, because right now we're projecting, our USDA is projecting, very good yields, and the prices are pretty good. For 2022, using trend yields, which would be 220 bushels for corn, 69 bushels for soybeans, and then we're currently using for 2022 a $4.50 corn price and a $12 soybean price. If you use those two numbers and think about a 50-50 corn soybean rotation, you come up with $71 of net return per acre. That would be after paying an average cash rent, which we're projecting at $293 per acre. So those are reasonable returns. They're actually a bit below the average from 2000 to 2020, but above what we saw from 2014 through 2019. So that would be a good income. And then we looked at prices that would cause zero net returns, and then went back to 2014 through 2019 prices and looked at what those returns would be.
Please tell me a little bit more about the break-even numbers.
So break even. So next year, if we're looking at break even, the prices that we came up with for break even would be $4.41 for corn and $10.23 for soybeans. And that's considerably higher than it has been in the past. And there's a couple of reasons. The biggest one is that non-land costs have risen considerably. Corn non-land costs are about $100, almost $100 higher than they were in 2014 through 2019. And soybean non-land costs are $50 per acre higher. So those higher costs, along with we didn't budget any ad hoc federal payments, and there would not be any ARC and PLC payments. So given the cost we're seeing rising, we have to have pretty $4.40 corn and $10.20 soybeans to break even.
And then you took a look at the 6 years, the last 2 years of the Obama administration, the 4 years of the Trump administration, that six-year period, which was very low income for producers, including, I think, in your calculations, all of the ad hoc payments, the MFPs and such?
So we looked at those returns from 2014 through 2019, leaving out 2020 because we don't have that one, or because prices rose considerably during that year. But from 2014 through 2019, the average price was $3.64, and the soybean price was $9.91. That during that period, there was a $25 average return per acre. If we use those prices, we come up for a 50-50 corn soybean rotation, a minus $86 return. So considerably, minus 86 would be, we've not seen that low of a return. And again, higher prices, and we put in some ARC PLC payments in that scenario, $5 for across both crops. The 364 corn price would trigger a PLC payment, but soybeans would not be triggering PLC payments yet. So just the higher cost levels that we're seeing would cause those prices to be, or cause returns to be very low at those prices. So there would be pressures to have another ad hoc federal payment round.
This is in part because the last farm bill signed into law did not update the support structure to a point at which it would begin to pay out?
It didn't change reference prices. And over time, those benchmark prices for ARC started out very high in 2014 and have been coming down. They're now at the reference price for corn and still above it for soybeans, but still not at the level where payments will trigger.
And as we end, you do note that in the article that it's unlikely that prices would be so very low.
Yeah, it's unlikely. But again, it was the average from 2014 to 2019.
It was indeed the average. So I suppose those who want to see these numbers can see them on the FarmDoc Daily website.
That's correct. It's our Tuesday article. So take a look there.
That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Time to check the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's awfully warm across the Corn Belt, Don. Can you tell me where this is emanating from?
Yes, we've got a high a large high that's built up over North Texas and Oklahoma right now that's just acting like a heat pump, bringing air out of the desert southwest and into the Corn Belt and the Midwest and the South. A lot of humidity with that heat as well. And it's a pattern, Todd, that's going to be rather stubborn here for the next week or so.
Are things set to change in that case?
Well, they'll change a little bit. While this heat will be across the Midwest and the South, there's actually going to be a series of funnel systems going across the Northern Plains and Southern Canada. Some of those systems will send slightly cooler, drier air south into the Midwest. That is something that we see a little bit of this weekend. And it's something that we actually see late next week. So, yeah, there's relief coming, but it's not going to be what I would call, you know, one front and then all the heat's gone. It's going to be modest little decreases in temperatures. But as we get to the end of the month and into early September, you can expect some of that heat to be easing, as it's just the time of year we get more active frontal systems across the north.
What are your expectations for the month of September?
Well, for the central and southern Corn Belt areas, one of the big wild cards is going to be tropical activity that could come up out of the Gulf and increase the rain chances. But if you were to remove that risk, you know, it looks like probably close to average precipitation. The northern and northwest Corn Belt that has been so dry is about ready to see significant rain. Minnesota, Wisconsin, parts of northern Iowa, the eastern Dakotas, they're actually going to be getting the rains that they wish they would have had a couple of months ago.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. On Tuesdays, we always check the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien now joins us from Kansas State University, where he's an extension agricultural economist, pays close attention to the ethanol market, agricultural energies in general. Thanks, Dan, for being with us. I want to switch things up just a little bit this week, as I think you do as well. You're starting to pay a whole lot more attention to renewable diesel, which is made from vegetable oils. And in this case, we think of soy diesel, or in this case, actually soybean oil. Can you tell me a little bit about how you view that in the marketplace?
Well, I think that the reality of the growth of green biodiesel is becoming all that much more of a front and center issue. And the industry itself has declared its intention by deciding to build plants up in places such as the Dakotas that would increase soybean crush on the one hand and make oil supplies available to plants that would produce green biodiesel. Of course, a lot of this would go into the California market with green biodiesel as an advanced biofuel, and the process to produce it requires less intensive use of other energies, mixes well with existing diesel processing. As kind of I'm way oversimplifying, but
you're not, because it is a one-for-one swap. It is just plain up diesel.
Yeah, it goes in. I would say that the USDA in their WASDE supply-demand estimate balance sheets released here for August just last week. If you look at the soybean oil balance sheets from the 2019-20 and now the projected 21-22 marketing years, you see a pretty steady increase. As you and I were talking before we came on air, the kind of march higher in biofuel use is not far off of the march lower in ending stocks. So you have green biodiesel usage of soybean oil affecting the supply demand balance sheet. I wonder where this is going in terms of the amount of U.S. soybeans that go into soybean oil into increased domestic usage, and with that happening, are we shifting the U.S. soybean complex all that much more into a domestic demand dependent structure, somewhat to match what we've seen over in corn. That would have implications for our ability the space we have in those market regimes to still be involved as aggressively and proactively as we are in exports.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate your view of the renewable industry today. I appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He's with Kansas State University Extension and joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.